Well, good morning and happy Resurrection Sunday. It's a big privilege to be able to share the Sunday, and especially that it's not any Sunday. This Sunday, we get to celebrate the most important event in history. It is the event that changed everything for us. You know, in a course of 3 days where Jesus died, and then he resurrected, in his resurrection, we went from each one of us being separated from God, being on death row, to being able to be called sons and daughters of God, that we can come with confidence before a Heavenly Father and know that we have full access. And that's what we are singing today. That's why we honor Jesus, because through Jesus, it says, he is a door. In encountering Jesus, we get to know the Father. And that is amazing. And so, as I was just praying about what to share this morning, I just have been encouraged by Travis and Paul to just be asking God, what is that fresh manna? What is that you desire to speak through me and through us when we get a chance to share? And so God brought me back from the resurrection of Jesus a few chapters back to John 11 to a family that was very dear to Jesus. And so if you would turn with me to John 11, those that have Bibles. This is a story of Lazarus. What Travis shared when he got up just was further confirmation, just that this is, I really believe, what God wanted me to share. He talked about removing the but, right? And so this, what I'm going to be sharing, is very much in line with that. I really believe as we look at the story of Lazarus, it's going to help us understand Jesus better. It's going to help us understand his heart for us. And it's also going to make us more excited of what we have in Jesus. And so we'll start. We're going to go through the whole story, and we're just going to go pausing in different sections of it. So we'll start with John 11, verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" And this verse here, I just want to highlight, oftentimes when there is a delay in God answering a prayer for us, when there is something we've been waiting for and it's not happening, it's so easy for us to start feeling like, oh man, I must have missed it along the way. Like, I should have, I could have. And just we go into our mind, we go into our thoughts, like just all the different things that we should have or could have done differently and why the things are not happening. But Jesus, I love it how he says here, that delay that he had was so that Jesus would be glorified through it. And I think when we look at those delays in the light of Jesus and his power and the plan of our Heavenly Father to glorify himself, it can completely change those circumstances for us. But it's a change of mindset to say, God is doing something awesome through this, and he is going to be glorified. And so we continue with verse 5. It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." That's kind of funny, huh? That verse, right? He says he loved him a lot, and then he said, and then he stayed 2 days longer, right? And then in verse 8, it says, the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" And in this verse, I think it's so representative of the voices around us, that sometimes it might be those closest to us that start speaking doubt and opposition and unbelief into our life. And they have good intentions, right? They didn't want Jesus to get stoned. But they were not keeping their eyes on the things above and of the Spirit and God's greater plan. They were just on their just thoughts, right? Like we all do. But unfortunately, when we stay in that place of our mind, we can completely miss what God is doing. It's something so much greater and more exciting. And so I just, as we're reading this story, I encourage you to go thinking about how this story applies to different areas of your life. And perhaps already there's something that God has been speaking to your life, and there's also that opposition. There's maybe someone close to you, could be family, could be a friend, that in their best of advice, they're making you doubt. They're making you doubt God's plan. And so we'll continue with verse 9. It says, "Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him.'" When we walk with Jesus, we're not walking in the darkness. The fear of stoning, the fear of opposition, of persecution, it changes our perspective from our natural instinct, which is to protect ourselves, it's self-preservation, to saying, "God, you have something so much greater for me, and I walk in your light." And so in verse 11, he continues, he says, "After saying these things, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him.'" I just want to pause right here in this section of just "our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep," because I really feel there are areas in each one of our lives that is a Lazarus. It's something, it could be a dream, it could be something God's called us to. It might be just a prayer for family reconciliation, you know, an estranged son or daughter, a lost loved one. It might be a broken relationship that you've been praying for. And I mean, you could fill in the blank with so many different things that we feel has fallen asleep, or it might have, we might feel it's dead. And sometimes, you know, the sorrows of life and even, you know, the voices inside of us can make us feel like we can't even dream anymore. Like we're just surviving from day to day. And hopelessness oftentimes is what sets in. And even, you know, sorrow from the past, or maybe it's a regret, you know, some mistake that you know you did, and right now you're living in that consequence of what you did. But I just encourage you, you might already have something that came to mind, but as we're continuing through this, just be asking the Lord to reveal and highlight what that Lazarus is in your life. What that could be that's just fallen asleep. As we continue in verse 12, it says, "A disciple said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was meaning taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I'm not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. You know, Jesus oftentimes uses the impossible situation to bring glory to his name, but most importantly, that we believe him. And it's interesting because we all can say we believe God, but we want to believe in miracles and say, yeah, I believe in miracles, but none of us want to be in a situation where we need a miracle. It is hard. It is hard to do that, but that is God's will for us, because when we believe in Jesus, it starts allowing us to understand more of his love for us, more of his perfect plan that he came to reveal to us. And it unlocks for us to better understand eternity. And oftentimes we can have this eternity like, oh yeah, I know he loves me, I believe in him, and someday he's going to save me. But in the now, in the reality of our life, and in those difficult circumstances, there can be a disconnect. In John 6:29, if we go back a little bit, it says, Jesus answered to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." This is God's work. This is what the Father wants you to know. And we'll continue with verse 16. It says, "So Thomas, called the twin, said to his disciples, 'Let us all go, that we may die with him.'" You know, it's, again, those people sometimes closest to us that can speak sometimes the things that are so much in opposition what we're hearing from God, or even that we're trying to set ourselves on. As we continue in verse 17, it says, Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Mary said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." And it's amazing because oftentimes in the story of Mary and Martha, Martha sometimes gets, you know, like a lesser reputation, right? But what she did here, she was the one that went. She went to look for Jesus. And she went out and poured out her heart to Jesus. And sometimes we can mourn difficult situations on our own, or we can talk to a lot of people, but sometimes it's so painful that somehow we don't come to Jesus. And that's the biggest tactic of the enemy, to keep us from being able to come to the one that actually can save us, that can help us through the situation. And I just want to highlight that, because that pain and sorrow and the most intimate place of our heart, the one we need to go to, is Jesus. He has the answer. He has the solution. In verse 22, it says, "But then now, I know that whatever you ask," this is Martha continuing, "that whatever you ask from God, he will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And as I was mentioning early, many of us that know Jesus can say, yeah, I know. And I know in the last day I'll be saved. I know that I'll come to the resurrection. This is awesome. This is amazing. But there can be the here and now, just a difficulty believing that God, in something so much smaller than raising us from death to life, that he can't handle a situation that we have right now. And I want to share a little story about my mother that's actually here. When she was born with her tear ducts closed, and she couldn't cry. There were no tears that would come out when she would cry. And one Sunday in this Lutheran church in Michigan, my grandmother heard the verse from Hebrews 3:8 that says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Holy Spirit touched my grandmother, and she just was like, had that realization that Jesus hasn't changed. Jesus is still a healer. He is the one that has resurrection power now. And she believed quietly in her heart that Jesus could heal my mom. And my mother was healed of her tear ducts. And it was beautiful, like just hearing that story of that faith, that belief in Jesus. And what's really neat, and God kind of revealed this yesterday, I got choked up thinking about it, but inadvertently over the years, my mom became an intercessor. And one of the memories I have throughout my childhood is my mom on this little mat, this little rug, on her knees praying. And so often, you know, just a burden for just the persecuted believers around the world, and her in tears praying and pleading to God for these people around the world for years and years. We're talking about probably like 40 plus years that my mom has been interceding and using those tears that the Lord gave her to pour out before our King of all kings for other believers having that heart. As we continue in verse 25, it says, Jesus said to her, again, he's still talking to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I think this is a question for all of us. Do we really believe this? She said to him, and I love this, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Such a beautiful verse of Martha's response. And there is such power in our confession as we trust and believe in God when we confess with our words. And there's a verse I want to share from Romans 10:9-10. I'm going to be jumping to a couple of verses, so don't feel like you have to jump over there. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And the Lord's been really challenging us about, Gina and me, about really that confession, the word of our mouth. And it's been neat to be in home group, and God has used Lisa Lightfoot and Patty Cardone in our group too. And just hearing the testimonies of the way that they are speaking forth the word of God and believing and standing in God's word. And there is such power. There is power in the confession of our mouths. And so I just encourage all of us to take hold of God's word. And there's so much scripture that if we just memorized, and like King David said in the Psalms, that he would meditate day and night in God's word, it can change our life and it can change our circumstances. And I've been trying to even use it, in stressful situations to just say, I have the mind of Christ. And believe that what's stressing me, what's overwhelming me, what I feel that I can't do on my own, that God is able to do it. And instead of reverting to just my own strength or trying to cope with it or just, you know, we have different mechanisms that we do it. We have a risen, powerful Savior, and we have his word that we can stand on. As we continue in verse 28, when she said When she said this, she went and called his sister, Mary, saying in private, this is Mary going to Mary, sorry, Martha going to Mary, the teacher is here and is calling you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Many people know this verse as the shortest verse in the Bible. But this verse is such a powerful verse that oftentimes gets overlooked. Think about it. Jesus knew he was going to resurrect Lazarus. He knew that. Yet, it says he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and he wept. He wept with them. And as I was just pondering and just praying about this, I know in my life, sometimes we can be going through grief or sorrow. And feel like God is this distant, perfect God that's in his golden kingdom, right? Yet he loves us so incredibly much that he was fully human. He had every emotion that we have. That he wept. He cried along with the people that were mourning. He felt the sorrow of Mary and Martha and the people that were crying. And I just want to invite everyone to allow Jesus, to invite Jesus to weep with you, to feel the full depth of whatever is burdening you, whatever sorrow you live through, whatever hurt, whatever loss. He wants to be with you and comfort you, but he'll only do it if you allow him into that place, that intimate place. But he's not distant. He is so close to us. And he is fully God, yet he was fully human and cares about every emotion that we feel. He's an awesome God, yet full of tender mercy and kindness towards us. And the Jews said in verse 36, see how much he loved him. And then so quickly, in verse 37, they went to question him. But then they said, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? There are those people that will only speak of what they've heard and seen from a distance. They'll make assumptions of who Jesus is, and they'll try to influence other people. They might try to speak lies and unbelief into our life. But it's because they have not known Jesus. They have not known the Jesus that cried with the people. This verse also just makes me think of how oftentimes when we're closest to that breakthrough, that when God is going to do something amazing, there can even be more doubt and unbelief and people speaking and questioning God. He did this, but can he do that? And it's so important that we ignore this, that we have, like Paul said, that we take every thought captive and bring it under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Because we don't want to, and sometimes, you know, I know in my life I've tolerated unbelief. I've tolerated lying voices instead of standing firm and saying, no, this is who I know Jesus to be. This is what the Word of God says, and I'm going to stand on it. I'm not going to give even an inch, an ounce of time to the enemy to be able to even entertain these thoughts in my mind. When we continue on to verse 38, it says, and Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. She probably said, take away the stone, right? And I think he's saying that to each one of us today, too. He's saying, take away those walls that you've put up to try to protect yourself. Take away those things that you've tried to pile up to keep something that's dead out of your thoughts, out of your mind. Maybe it's something you've numbed yourself through, some addiction, through alcohol, through drugs. I mean, there are so many things that we try to put up as walls to keep us from being able to deal with something that is only resurrectable, I believe that's the word, through Jesus. The only way Jesus comes into those areas are if we invite him in. I love the next part here. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And once again, we see unbelief come up, right? She had confessed that Jesus is Lord. She had confessed that Lazarus was going to rise up in the last day of resurrection. Yet again, right before the big breakthrough, there was that doubt that crept in. And it's so important for us to not allow any double-mindedness. James chapter 1, verse 22, 24 says, it is so important that we do not, so I thought I had the full scripture, but I'll just keep going. In James chapter 1, it talks about that we are be doers of the word, not just listeners. And it talks about how someone can look in a mirror and then forget what they look like. I mean, think about that. You wake up in the morning, yeah, you get ready to come to Resurrection Sunday, you look at yourself in the mirror, and then you're out and about. You don't even know what you look like. And that comparison that James brings about here is so important, because when we forget who we are, we forget our identity, that we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, this is Galatians 2:20, but it's Christ who lives in us. That is our identity. That is what we look like. And the power of Jesus lives in us. And that is amazing. Yet, again, when we're faced with some of the biggest challenges in life, we can forget who we are, which is, should be, yet I'll be the first to admit, I've done that too, which is as preposterous, it should be, as looking in the mirror and forgetting what I look like. We are image bearers of Jesus Christ, and that is awesome, and we cannot forget what we look like and who we are. So we continue in verse 40, it says, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Again, Jesus is so good. He speaks into that unbelief, that double-mindedness, and says, if you believe, that is the key. That's the key, if you believe. Nothing is impossible to God, and nothing is impossible for those who believe in him. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus reminds us that the purpose of God is that we would increase in our belief in him. And something that I think we all need to be introspective as we think, hey, are we growing spiritually? Are we becoming more spiritually mature? Are we believing more in Jesus every day? Is he our option C, right? When we have explored all the other options, we've called the doctor, or is he our option A, where we believe in him? And that is the challenge, is like, are we believing him more every day? And this is, if we quickly jump back a couple of chapters of John 14, 12 through 14, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Did you notice there was two trulies there right at the beginning? That's Jesus highlighting, saying, listen to this really carefully. Lean in. This is really important. This is truth. It's truly, truly, I say to you. He wants us to be able to walk in the power of his resurrection. And do you notice in your Bibles any asterisk? Are there terms and conditions on the bottom that say, well, if you did this, if you did the other, if you came from this certain family, if you haven't sinned all week, right? No, it says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So if there was a term and condition there, it's, he explains that the things that we're asking for are so that the Father would receive all the glory through his Son, Jesus. That is the purpose. And it says that God, our Father, is a good Father that loves us, and he loves to give good gifts to his children. In Matthew 7:7, it says, you know, in chapter 7, it talks about how if us that are evil, you know, and not good as a father, you know, I have moments where I'm not loving my kids like I should. I'm not as patient as I should. But if they ask me for bread, I'm not going to give them a stone. I'm not going to make them a stone sandwich or put a scorpion in there, right? And God that is perfect, and that we know that there is no variation in him, he wants to give us the very best. And so we need to ask and we need to believe, and he wants us to walk in the fullness of the works that he did, and even greater works than he did, it says. In verse 43, we're going to come back to here, to the story of Lazarus. It says, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And it's maybe funny, but as I was reading this last part, I almost felt like Jesus was saying through this story to us. Open, unwrap the gift I have for you. Unwrap it. Sometimes we can get a gift from God, and that is Jesus, and be like, oh, Jesus is so good, and we put him in a pedestal. You know, some people put a little candle, and then forget about Jesus, right? We forget that we have not only Jesus that saves us, but Jesus in us. We have the same power that raised Christ from death in us. And in Romans 8:11, this is such an awesome verse. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ, Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And we can walk in that same power. And we can speak life into those that are spiritually dead, that don't know Jesus. And I just, for a moment, just want us to think about how amazing it is that in the resurrection of Jesus, there was so much power that came forth that would forgive all the sins of the world to those who would believe in Jesus. That is huge power. That is amazing. Like, it was a power that took what was dead in sin, which was each one of us, and brought life, a life that we can experience now, and even and for all eternity. Through Jesus, we are alive eternally. Our bodies will die, but our spirit and our soul will continue, right? And that is something that is just, I mean, so hard to believe and so big, but I think we need to just ask God. I loved what Travis shared about just asking God to help us understand, to realize the magnitude, the joy that is in this day of the resurrection of Jesus. And that same power, again, you know, we can be like, yeah, we have the power of Jesus in us. But do we really believe Jesus? Do we really believe his word? And in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. We are the workmanship of God. And that is our confession. We were created to do good works, that Jesus would live through us and do amazing things. And it is beautiful and awesome, and something that in this day we celebrate, and it can be life-changing for each one of us. But one of the big things that I truly believe God is highlighting in this day is not allowing that, but like Travis said, not allowing something that is dead or has fallen asleep to remain that way, because Jesus wants us to know his resurrection power today, not just in the future. That is something we hope for. But how we experience Jesus today is taking us from glory to glory. That is the purpose of why we come together. That is the purpose of the word, is that we would know him more and more. And it is exciting. And that's why we sing, and that's why we worship, because as we get even a glimpse of Jesus and his awesomeness, it's life-changing. And so I tried to get some audio-visual working, but I'm going to just really quickly just play a song here that you can just, you know, and just listen to the lyrics and And ask the Lord, what is that Lazarus that God wants to, through Jesus, bring to life and know him and believe him? Just, if everyone would just stand with me. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your amazing love that you reveal to us through your Son, Jesus. And that is he is alive. Lord, we celebrate this event today. And he wants to be alive in each one of our hearts. He wants access to every area of our heart that we would be truly alive in him. He wants us to believe in him. And Lord God, we just bring before you all areas, Lord, that are asleep or dead. Lord, we want the power of the resurrection Savior, Jesus Christ, to help us, to bring healing, to bring restoration. Lord, we invite you in this morning. Lord, we don't want to walk out the same. We want to believe you. We want to believe in you more every day. We want to bring you glory as we invite you in to work out your good plan in our lives, because we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared for us to walk in. Lord, I just pray your blessings on every person that is here today. Lord, every person that's online, Lord, our brothers and sisters that are traveling, Lord, the people, Lord, that all around are lifting up the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And Lord, we receive your resurrection power in our lives. We believe in you, and we want to confess, Lord God, we believe in you. Thank you, Lord. We love you and praise you. We honor you. We lift up the name of Jesus, that the Father would be glorified through him. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
That was awesome. Thank you, Joel.